If you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 4. A preacher had been preaching one Sunday morning, and he was preaching, and he noticed that the people in the congregation kept hitting the back of their heads. Well, it turned out that there was a little boy who had been up in the balcony who had a little pea shooter. And he was shooting people in the back of the heads with a pea shooter. And it turned out that this was the pastor's son. And the pastor said, "You come down here." He said, "Daddy," he said, "you keep preaching and I'll keep them awake. I want you to stay awake this morning because we got a lot to say and we're going to have got a little time to say it in, all right?" But Philippians chapter 4, verses 4, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now go on down to verses 10 and 11, and it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." The title of the message this morning is How to Have Peace in the Midst of Pain. My favorite cartoon when I was growing up was Popeye the Sailor Man. I love that show. Popeye the Sailor Man, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish because I eats me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I love that cartoon. And you know, Popeye, he had a lot going on. I mean, every day he had to deal with Brutus. Brutus was constantly brutalizing him. And Popeye had had enough of it. And he couldn't stand it anymore. And finally, after he couldn't stand it anymore, and after he couldn't take it anymore, what did he do? He found him some spinach to take care of the situation. And we all know what happened when Popeye took the spinach. His muscles started to grow. He gained strength. He gained power. And no longer was Brutus the victor. Brutus became the victim. This morning, there's some of you in this congregation today that are dealing with some Brutuses in your life. Maybe it's your job. Every day you have to deal with someone you don't like. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your family. And it's like a Brutus that's in the way. It's there every day. You have to deal with this issue. And you don't know what to do. You're tired. You're weary from fighting the situation, the circumstance. Well, today from God's Word, I want to give you some things that are going to help you. If you'll use these things that we're going to talk about today and remember these things when you go through life, I can promise you that it will help you in your circumstances and situations, whether good or bad. You see, the Apostle Paul is in prison. A dirty, dark, slimy, stinky, rat-infested hole in the ground. But you would think by the words that he uses, it sounds like he's staying at some five-star resort. Over 18 times in this book, Paul says, rejoice. Not really something you would expect to hear from someone who is in a prison. And Paul is in prison and he can't get out of this prison. But what he does while he is there is a reminder to all of us this morning that while we may not be able to control the circumstance or the situation that we find ourselves in, we can control how we respond. And most of us, hopefully none of us, will probably never be placed in a prison for doing something wrong or committing some crime. Hopefully not. But there's one more than one kind of prison, isn't there? Some this morning are in a prison of depression. Some this morning are in a prison of disappointment and discouragement. Some in here are in a battle for their marriage or dealing with trying to find a new job, whatever. Others have things that restrain them and bind them. And you want to break free from it all, but you can't. Look at what it says in verse 11. It says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. Paul is saying, I don't have to get out of this prison in order to be a happy and joyful man. And so the first thing that I want you to notice from this passage of Scripture on how to have peace in the midst of pain, the first thing is that you need to focus on God's presence. You need to focus on God's presence. Go back up to verse 4 and 5. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, that the what? Lord is at hand. That He is at hand. You know, we want to have a life that is easy, don't we? We want life to be so easy all the time. We do everything that we can to make our lives a breeze, don't we? We don't want any problems. We don't want any heartaches, any sorrow. But listen, friend, if we never had a problem, we would never come to God. And we would never know that God was big enough to solve the problems that we face each and every day. When do you find yourself coming to God and seeking God and getting to know God? Is it when things are bright for you? No, it's when things are dark. No one can be happy all the time. But Paul didn't say that we're to be happy all the time. You know, happiness is like a thermometer. It goes up and down. But joy regulates our life. Now, being happy is not wrong. If you have a chance to be happy, then you need to enjoy that time. You need to enjoy that moment. But you need to remember that something else is coming around the corner. Paul said, rejoice always. Paul had joy. Why? Because he knew that Jesus was with him in the situation that he was in. If things in our life get tough, does that mean that we don't have joy? No, absolutely not. If you depend on your circumstances for you to have happiness and joy, then guess what, friend? You can't say rejoice always. You see, circumstances change. Where are you getting your joy today? You know, I thank God for playrooms in doctor's offices. When you go to the doctor's office to take your child that's sick or whatever, they have this little playroom, and whoever designed the playrooms in the doctor's office, they need to get a standing ovation. Because when you take your child to the doctor's office because they're sick, so they can be cured of their problem or be healed of their problem, guess what? The playroom is there and it's designed to take their mind to distract them from the pain that maybe they're in. And listen, friend, God has designed a playroom in your soul that when you feel pain, when you feel a circumstance bearing down upon you, that you can go to that place of joy and realize that God is going to be with me. It distracts you from the pain, the situation, the circumstance that you're in.
I wrote this down. It said, when you have God's joy in your heart, it doesn't necessarily mean that your pain or hurt will be taken away. But what it does mean is that you will be able to bear that pain during that situation and that circumstance. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, we need a joy that is stable in our life. If you're getting your joy from your job, or your health, or your finances, or your family, or your friends, all of that can be threatened. There's only one way to find out where you're getting your joy. If it's in your job, then take your job. Do you still have joy? If it's in your health, then take your health. Do you still have joy? If you lose a family member and they're gone, do you still have joy? If you lose your finances and all that's gone, do you still have joy? There's nothing wrong with having joy in your job, in your health, in your finances. But those things can change, friend, in the twinkling of an eye. We need a joy that supersedes that. And what we need is to have joy in Jesus, because the Bible says that He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the rock. He is the rock. He is the one that is stable through all of the things that we face in life. Somebody say amen to that. He is there. And we need a joy that is stable, but also we need a joy that shows on our face. Don't you love to be around joyful people? I do. I don't like being around negative people. I really don't. But we know that everybody's not going to be laughing and giggling all the time. But some people who have experienced some great trials in life, like the Apostle Paul, they had the sweetest, most joyful look upon their face. It says there in Philippians 4:5, the Lord is at hand. God's presence. God is near to you in your circumstance. He is near to you in your situation today. The Bible says in Exodus 33:14, and He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Do you need rest today? Do you need peace today? Do you need His presence today? God is here. God is with you today. The second thing that we need to focus upon is not only God's presence, but also God's power. Look there in verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry. And we just talked to our Sunday school class last week about worrying and about how it wrecks your life. It doesn't add any stature to your life. It doesn't add any years to your life. In fact, worry is wicked, because worry says, God, you're not in charge. God, you're a liar, because you can't provide for me. You don't have the power, and so I'm just going to worry about everything. I'm not going to give it to you. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul is saying, don't worry, but pray. Friend, listen, when you deal with difficult situations at home, in your job, or whatever it is in your life, don't wring your hands, bend your knees. Bend your knees. Get on your knees and pray to God. This little girl was at school and the teacher had told her to do something. And she said, now you do this. And the little girl said, well, I'm not going to do it. And she said, oh, yes, you will, or you're going to get in trouble. She said, well, I'm not going to do it. And finally, the teacher had had enough, and so she got down on her level like this, you know, sometimes when you do with your kids right here, you just get on their level. And she said, if you don't do what I'm asking you to do, I'm going to punish you and you're not going to like it. She said, oh yeah? She said, well, do you know who my daddy is? Friend, I want to ask you a question. Do you know who your daddy is today? Who is your daddy today? Who is Jesus to you today? He is the one, friend, who is mighty. He is the one who is magnificent. He is the one who is marvelous. He is the one who has come to meet with us today. Let's give God a hand today for what He's done. He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And He's come to be with us today. Don't forget that. Remember that when you walk out the door today. He is our Heavenly Father who knows it all. And Paul is saying, be anxious for nothing because God's got it all. He's got it in charge. But by everything through prayer, get on your knees and pray. You see, when you know who your daddy is, then you can pull rank over people. You can pull rank over situations. You can pull rank, friend, listen, over circumstances and difficult things that happen in your life because you just go to your daddy. You just go to your daddy, your Father, your Heavenly Father, who has all the power to change it all. And so Paul is saying that I have focused on God's power. But then the third thing that we need to focus on today is not only God's power and God's presence, but we need to focus on God's providence today. What is Paul saying? I'm just going to thank God for who He is and what He's already done for me. What has God done for you? Do you thank Him for what He does for you each and every week? You may be dealing with a difficult situation. God knows it all. But do you thank God for what He has already done, maybe in the past for you, before this difficult situation has come about? He said by supplication, and he's just thanking God for what He's done. And you say, well, I don't have much to thank God for, as some people do. Well, are you in prison like Paul, waiting to get your head cut off today? Maybe you're measuring your blessings the wrong way. You see, unthankful people are never happy people. They're never joyful people. They're always filled with bitterness and pride and fear and negativism and selfishness and self-pity. Friend, if that is you, I pray for you. God help you. You see, the Bible says over in Philippians 4:19, listen to what this says. And my God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to what? His riches. God is more rich than all of us and all of this world. He owns it all, the cattle on a thousand hills. But He says in Christ Jesus. Friend, listen, if you have Jesus in your heart, you are rich today. You're rich today. Don't measure your blessings by your health and your wealth and your happiness. Measure your blessings by what God has done for you. He has died on the cross for our sins. And guess what? He rose again and He's alive today. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a risen God. A man had bought a new pair of pants. And he took them home and he was getting ready to wear them that morning. And his wife was in there ironing them. And he was excited about wearing these new pants. And I guess his wife didn't know how to iron, but she burned them. And he started to get mad. And he said, God, thank you that my leg was not in those pants. I mean, we need to be thankful people today for what God has done. And we just need to focus on His providence. The last thing. We need to focus on His providence. We need to focus on His power. We need to focus on His provision. We need to focus on, lastly, God's peace. Look in verse 7. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now listen, friend, you ever heard somebody say,
keep the peace. Keep the peace. Just keep the peace. Friend, this is not a peace that you keep. This peace keeps you. Do you see it? And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. That word keep, it means to surround. Like soldiers would surround a fortress. God is surrounding us today. He has His arms surrounding us, protecting us today, giving us peace. Now listen, friend. I'm 36 years old. And some of you, you've lived longer than I have, and you've got a lot going on in your life. But I want to tell you, my life has changed a little bit. I do a lot at work. I do sometimes some other people's jobs when they're not there, and it's frustrating sometimes. Jake just started Little League, and players pitch, and he's playing over here at Blue Ridge at David Jackson. And, you know, I come home, and I'm helping with the team, and the games start at 7:30, and when you come home from work, sometimes I don't get home to 5 o'clock, and you have to come around, go back to the ball field. Sometimes I don't get home at 9:30. And Elizabeth's got stuff going on at school. And, you know, I just became the chairman of the deacons here. And dealing with stuff at church and dealing with stuff in my life. And, you know, sometimes you just need to take a break sometimes and stop. But, you know, sometimes there are no breaks to take because you have so much going on. But I want to tell you today, I am so thankful for the peace of God. I'm thankful for His peace today. The peace that keeps me. I don't have to keep this peace. This peace keeps me. It keeps me in line. It keeps me focused on what's really important in life, which is Jesus. It says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Him." Where is your mind stayed upon today? In your difficult situation, in your circumstance that you're dealing with today, that maybe nobody knows about, is your mind stayed upon Jesus? Or is it stayed upon the circumstance that change each and every day? I heard a story about a pastor in Jim Cimbala in Brooklyn, New York. He's a pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle there who's known for their famous choir. Jim Cimbala is a very busy man. He's planting other churches in New York, and his daughter at this particular time is lost. They have no idea where she is. She's hooked on drugs, and she's involved in the world, and Jim's wife, who actually leads the choir, and she doesn't even know any notes of music. How about that? I read that. She don't even know how to read music, but she leads this huge choir and does a great job. And she had had a surgery, and this particular surgery had got her estrogen levels all out of whack. I mean, it was just all out of whack. And his other two kids are needy at their home there, and his wife says to him, "I just want to die. I just want to die. I can't go on." And Jim, it's like, "I'm the pastor of the church. My wife's telling me she wants to die. I don't know where my daughter is, and my two other kids are needy. I have all this going on. I'm so frustrated." And so he just says, "You know what? I'm not going in to preach Sunday. I'm not going in." Well, the church is going to need him, and they have no warning of him not going to be there, but who cares? I'm not going in. I don't want to go in. And so he's fighting this battle. How many of you are fighting battles today? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Fighting battles with the devil each and every day. He was fighting a battle. And so he gets a call from his father-in-law. Had no idea that his father-in-law knew about the situation because he didn't talk to him much, but his father-in-law said, "Jim, you're going in today." He said, "No, I'm not." He said, I don't care what happens there. I don't care about preaching. I don't care about anything. I just want to be here alone. And he said, God give him power. God give him strength. God give him peace. And Jim said, you know what? After that prayer, I got to go in. I don't have a choice. And so he went in and he preached a sermon. And after the sermon was over, some man came up to him and said, Jim, I was on my last leg. I didn't know what I was going to do. And the sermon that you preached gave me strength. It gave me power. You see, sometimes in the Christian life, having faith in Jesus just means taking one step in front of the other. Just an easy step. You don't know how you're going to get over there, but God gives us power. He gives us strength. He gives us peace. His peace surpasses what? All understanding. And it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And Paul said at the end, I have learned that in whatever state I'm in, whether I'm sorrowful, whether I'm sad, whether I'm happy, whether I'm glad, that I am content. Why? Because I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus today? Do you know that He wants to meet with you today? Just cry out to Him today. I'm going to pray and Miss Debbie's going to come and sing. And if you've got an issue today, this is where you need to be. On your knees, praying to God. God, help me. I need your peace. I need your power. I need your presence. I need your providence today. Would you come as God leads you today? God, we thank you for your word today. Knowing that you are God and we're not. Lord, we may not be able to change the situation that we're in, or the circumstance, or the tough and difficult things that we deal with each and every day. But we know, God, that we can come to you and cry out to you because you love us and you want to meet with us because you care about the needs that we have. And you will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. God, would you give someone today who's lost today conviction in their heart that they need to be saved before it's too late? Would you give some Christian today who's struggling, who's dealing with a difficult situation, peace and comfort today? Would you help us, God, to look to you and focus on you and forget about all the distractions that come our way? But Lord, that we would focus upon the one who is mighty and marvelous today, who can take care of all of our needs if we just give it to you. Lord, be with us today as we sing, and Lord, be with those who today who are hurting. Thank you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as God leads you today.